From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Mark Report. It's the 8th day of September 2008. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's the Senior Grains Analyst at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. And later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons right here in Champaign County. In agricultural news, the CME Group says it will add delivery points to the wheat contracts. Mexico is barring U.S. pork, and U.S. officials are meeting in Geneva this week to discuss the WTO. Dave Dickey will have details of these stories later in the half hour, and I'll tell you where the fudge factor is in the USDA WASD.
This is meteorologist Ed Kieser with an update on the weather. We have a new severe thunderstorm warning. It's in effect for Douglas County, all of Douglas County, until 2:45 p.m. As of 1 minute ago, almost 2 minutes ago, National Weather Service meteorologists detected a severe thunderstorm capable of producing nickel-sized hail. This storm is located 6 miles south of Atwood, or about 10 miles southwest of Tuscola, moving east at 39 miles per hour. And locations impacted by the storm include Tuscola, Camargo, and Newman. And this does include Interstate 57 between mile markers 207 and 215. So a new severe thunderstorm warning in effect for Douglas County until 2:45, including Tuscola, Camargo, and Newman, and Interstate 57 between mile markers 207 and 215. And in addition to that, we still have the other severe thunderstorm warning for southwestern Douglas County, eastern Moultrie, and northern Coles counties. That's in effect until 2:30 p.m. And the storm was last reported about 10 minutes ago near Cadwell. That's about 8 miles northeast of Sullivan, moving east at 35 miles per hour. Cooks Mill, Arcola, Humboldt, Hinesboro, Raritan, Bushton, Oakland, Fairgrange, and Charleston are in that warning, and also Interstate 57 between mile markers 193 and 206. Stay tuned to WILL for the latest weather information.
16 and a quarter higher. September bean meal futures at 334.60, down $6.40. September bean oil at 48.53, 35 cents higher on the afternoon. October live cattle futures today at 103 and a nickel, a dime higher. December futures unchanged at 104.95. September feeders at 111.30, 17 and a half cents higher, and the October's at 111.30 as well. They were up 62 and a half cents. October live hog futures at 68.85, down 57 and a half cents. December at 67.45, 72 and a half cents lower. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. Here's what the outside markets look like on the afternoon. Nearby crude oil futures trading the October at $106.15 a barrel, 8 cents lower. November crude at $107.45, 76 cents higher. Ethanol futures October at $2.20.5, 3.5 cents higher. Natural gas at $7.49.5, up 4 and 6 tenths of a cent. The October RBOB gasoline at $2.74 and 8 tenths, 6 and a tenth higher. And the Hedun oil, that's diesel fuel, up 2 and 9 tenths of a cent at $3.02. Propane futures are down 3 and 5 tenths of a cent at $1.61.5, and the gold futures are trading a dime lower at $797.50. The Dow Jones Industrial Average now stands at 11,411. That's just about 190 points higher on the afternoon. And the U.S. dollar, trading at 79.63, is up 0.76 for the day. The CRB index at 367.63 is down 0.07 on the afternoon. Here's what the forecast for the two-state region looks like from our own chief meteorologist, Ed Kieser. He says mostly cloudy skies, scattered showers, isolated thunderstorms for this evening. Lows between 42 and 62 across the two states. Tomorrow, northern Illinois, mostly sunny skies. In the far south, mostly cloudy, some scattered showers early. Then it'll become partly sunny, elsewhere becoming mostly sunny. Highs will range from 65 in the far north to 78 in the far south. Cooler weather expected Tuesday night into Wednesday morning, with lows in the 40s in the north and the central sections, and lows in the 50s in the south. The U.S. GFS model, by the way, indicates some unusually cold air coming out of Canada and into the northern plains on the morning of Thursday, September the 18th, into Minnesota, Wisconsin, Michigan, and on Friday, September the 19th as well. You're listening to the Closing Market Report.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report on a Monday afternoon. Time to take a look at the agricultural futures markets. And Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, joins us this afternoon. Hi, Kurt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Hey, you're making your way this evening to Champaign County to one of the Ag Outlook panels hosted by Dave Dickey at the Champaign County Farm Bureau / Extension Building, aren't you?
Boy, yeah, that's a fun event. All these Outlook meetings are great to go to. The ones we've been going to so far have been well attended, a lot of good questions. We always look forward to this. Got a heck of a panel, so I've got some good compadres to be with this evening.
Yeah, there's a number of Jackie Vakes from Stuart Peterson Group is on with you, and Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities, and Chuck Shelby of Risk Management Commodities. They'll all be there this evening. This is a free program, starts at 7 o'clock. I'll bet you're looking forward to having everybody in, and you got a little rain, so I suppose the auditorium should be full tonight.
Traditionally, that's how it's worked in the past, but just the market action alone has producers, investors, and managers and owners real interested in what to look for here as we go into late summer, early fall, Todd.
Interested usually translates into scared sometimes, so tell me about this marketplace.
Oh, most volatile, most scary times, but kind of mixed opinions through the day. We had sharply higher trade overnight, sold off in the wee hours of the morning, sort of backed and filled during the day, but corn was able to hold unchanged, and the beans took over leadership. Bean market a little oversold, the little export business came up, but probably the biggest hint of news that came as we went through midday was the 11 to 15 day forecast came out and gave a hint of a little bit of frost in the forecast. Also here just a few minutes ago, the 8 to 14 day came out and showed below normal temperatures. So the trade might be getting a little concerned about the growing seasons. We visit producers, even in the corn side of the equation, a little bit of frustration. I mean, this rain is welcome, but yet too, producers are wanting this crop to start drying down. Because when they look at the moisture readings and just how green the crop is, it's going to be a long, drawn-out fall.
Well, let me take just a moment and read something that meteorologist Ed Kieser put together for us just before we went on the air. This relates to the U.S. GFS model. He says that it indicates unusually cold air, of course, coming out of Canada and in the northern plains on the mornings of Thursday, September the 18th, and into Minnesota, Wisconsin, and Michigan on Friday, September the 19th. Ed says if this model were to verify, there would be frost in those areas. However, the model output, he says, is very unreliable that far out, and that this in no way is to be considered a frost forecast. But it is unusually cold, Ed says, across the northern parts of Canada now, and into any of that cold air does head our way. He says it could create a problem. So the situation needs to be carefully monitored, and I know they will be doing that in Chicago, and of course you'll be doing it in your office. What does the frost mean, do you think, in terms of an uptick? What would you consider, I guess, maybe a widespread frost across, let's say, Minnesota and the very far northern reaches of Iowa? What would that do?
Well, it's going to put the calculators clicking in full gear here as they start subtracting some bushels. The main concern, though, as a producer, though, is that the quality, especially if it's in your area there, that'd be devastating, not only to be back on total bushels, but the quality issue. But it would probably push the market frost freeze in this time window they're looking at, if it would happen, push the beans back to the $13 level fairly quickly. After that, you know, they'll have to monitor whether there's more cold air behind it and how far south it comes.
Just a reminder, this is not considered a forecast for frost, and it is not for this Friday, but the following Friday, September the 19th. This Friday, there is a big event. It'll happen at 7:30 on Friday morning. USDA is scheduled to release its next set of reports. And the crop production numbers, trying to figure out just how much corn it believes is in or will be put in the bin this fall, along with the soybeans. You've got some numbers you've been working with?
Well, I've sort of peeled back on some ideas here on as far as production goes. We feel that the bean yield itself is going to be awful hard to get much above 40 bushels to the acre. We feel the bean production number will be below 3 billion bushels. And on corn, we feel we're closer to this 152 bushel area with the crop just a little over 12 billion bushels. Guys we visit with, you know, it varies a lot from location to location. There's just a lot of holes out there. And when you visit with individuals who have flown up in the air over this crop, they give reports that and actual passed on pictures of the crop where it's kind of hard to believe we're going to be at the upper end of the range. But we'll wait and see what numbers do come out. Those will be the numbers we work with. But we feel that probably the main number or the number that the trade's going to be looking for is the demand side of the equation. And we feel that demand's going to start picking up from here on out, as if prices would go lower here, these end users will start to come forward and start to try to gather some coverage. But there's still the unknown, too, as we move down the road, will be in the mix will be the harvested acres number two, Todd.
Well, if this is the case and what you're looking at, then technically I suppose you're thinking that we're looking at head and shoulders bottom potentially in the corn market?
There is potential of a head and shoulders bottom, but we're going to go with the seasonal trend. If you look at the seasonality of the marketplace as far as the corn and bean prices go, we've been recording some lows here in the August-September time window have been trending higher into the first part of December. And so we're in the opinion that we have some lows established in the corn market, and beans are still trying to record possibly a double bottom here in the November futures at this 1175 area.
We appreciate you taking the time with us today.
Very good.
And that's Kurt Kimmel. He's with Grainfield, or he's with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report. Happens each and every Monday afternoon. Don't forget to visit with Kurt tonight if you get the chance at 7 o'clock. This is free at the University of Illinois Extension / Champaign County Farm Bureau Building right here in Champaign, Illinois. Begins at 7 o'clock.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
Dave Dickey is here now. He'll take a complete look at today's agricultural newscast right here on the Closing Market Report.
In agricultural news, CME Group says it will seek to add delivery points and implement seasonally adjusted storage fees in an effort to improve convergence of cash wheat prices with wheat futures contracts. Three additional delivery territories are being recommended: shuttle train loading facilities in a 12-county area of northwest Ohio, barge loading facilities on the Ohio River from Cincinnati to the Mississippi River, and barge loading facilities on the Mississippi River from below St. Louis to Memphis. CME Group also wants to establish seasonal premium charges from July to November of 8 cents a bushel. Other months, the premium charge would remain at 5 cents a bushel. CME is calling for the changes to go into effect beginning with the July 2009 contract month. The changes must be approved by the CFTC. Mexico is preparing to bar pork imports from at least three U.S. production facilities, a move coming on the heels of the U.S. stopping imports from seven Mexican plants in August. USDA has asked Mexico to provide reasons for the potential delistings. In August, the Food and Safety Inspection Service found what it called systematic problems with sanitation controls and record keeping, and Mexico voluntarily suspended shipments of meat and processed pork to the U.S. But since then, Mexican producers have called the FSIS report overblown. U.S. officials are meeting in Geneva this week to try to save some agreed-on points from the Doha round of world trade talks. U.S. officials say the objective is less to move the process forward, but rather to capture as many of the previously agreed issues as possible. Among those at the meetings, USDA Chief Economist Joe Glauber.
A few of the senior officials will kind of revisit some of the issues that were left outstanding, when the talks broke up last month. And of course, they broke up over some very tough issues. I think what we want to get is some assessment of where members are right now. So seniors agreed that they would go in for a very short set of talks to get some notion of where things stood and see if there was any sort of basis for moving forward.
The Doha round fell apart when the U.S., China, and India could not agree on agricultural trade issues for developing nations. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming at WILL Public Radio for the Farming World. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Mark Report and Commodity Week. Reminding you to visit our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org. Up next, this Friday, USDA will release the September crop production report. It'll gauge the size of the U.S. corn and soybean crops. These estimates will then guide all the rest of the figures that the agency uses to tell the world how much was produced, how it's being used, and what's left. But as you'll hear, in the end, they must all be reconciled with the quarterly grain stocks reports. The quarterly grain stocks report is figured by taking the reported usage, not estimates, but actual figures like exports and crush, and a more nebulous number called feed and residual use, and subtracting them from the inventory figure, production plus carryover. University of Illinois Extension Ag Economist Daryl Good explains.
What you do, you have to reconcile everything to the quarterly stocks number. So every 3 months, you say, this is our current inventory of corn. And so we know pretty much how much we exported in the previous quarter. We know how much we processed. We collect that kind of information. So then we calculate how much must have disappeared for feed use. And each quarter this year, the January report and the March stocks report all were smaller than expected, which said we must have fed a lot more corn than we thought we were going to. And so that forced the projection for the year higher. The question is whether we actually really fed that corn, or if you back up to the production number, was it just never there in the first place? And that'll be a while before we reconcile that, if ever. It may, both estimates may stay, and you see some inconsistency there, but we never get it reconciled.
That explanation sets us up for a conversation about how much corn is or has been fed to livestock in the United States this year and why it's so different than the projection for the coming marketing year, off by some 700 million bushels for corn, to 5.3 billion bushels.
So how do you get down to 5.3? Well, if you back the clock up to 06, 07, the official numbers, we only fed 5.6 billion bushels that year. Now, this year, it mysteriously jumped to 6 billion bushels, and now it's going to go back to 5.3. So 5.3 looks okay relative to 5.6 2 years ago. It looks low to what we think we're using this year. And it's just kind of symptomatic of kind of the noise that's in the feed and residual numbers for corn, because it is a completely residual estimate. And if there are errors in measuring crop size, it shows up in either an overestimate or an underestimate of what actually got fed. So you have to factor that into it.
The point is this. The feed and residual use number can sometimes look off balance. It is the one point USDA back figures to make the books balance. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Hi, this is AM 580 Agriculture Director Dave Dickey. Join us this evening for another one of our free AM 580 Agricultural Outlook panels. Tonight we'll be at the Champaign County Farm Bureau Auditorium at 7 o'clock. Panelists for the meeting include Jackie Vakes of Stuart Peterson Group, Chuck Shelby of Risk Management Commodities, Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities, and Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities. That's at the Champaign County Farm Bureau Auditorium. The meeting getting underway at 7 o'clock. Again, the meeting is free. No advance registration is required. Bring your agricultural questions, and we'll do our best to get those answered. We hope to see you there.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report. It is a Monday afternoon. We're joined now by the folks at the Andersons. General Manager Larry Wood is on the line with us from right here in Champaign County. Hi, Larry. Thanks for joining us today.
How are you today?
Oh, I'm good. How's space and availability for your facility this fall?
Well, I think there's plenty of space out there. A lot of corn has moved. In fact, there's even a premium out there in the market for old corn that we're seeing here. And it'll probably last another, maybe 10, 15 days, just depending on when new corn starts to move and fill in the pipeline.
How much of a premium at this point?
We're seeing anywhere from 10 to 15 cents on corn, a little bit more on beans. There aren't any beans out there right now. In fact, we've seen a couple of plants shut down just because there aren't any, and they'll probably open their doors back up here around the end of September.
Much talk within the company and the purchasers there on your side about USDA numbers coming out on this Friday morning and the Informa numbers and FC Stone numbers that we've seen so far?
Lots of speculation. I know it. What we've seen here over the summer doesn't look all that great in this particular area, but I think we've seen some improvement over the summer. August, of course, was pretty dry, and I think that hurt things. It probably hurt the beans more than it did the corn. And there's late rains, but although these late rains, I think, will probably have at least sustained the beans where they are.
I hesitate to add. Oh, go on.
We'll see here in about another 30 days what things look like. It's always hard to tell, and it seems like it always fools us.
Once in a while, we have somebody who's hauled in something early. Anything really early come into the area yet?
We have not seen anything across the eastern Corn Belt yet that anybody's picked. So we have not heard any numbers yet.
How's basis holding up? I understand. I mean, you're telling me already that you've got a premium for the corn market, so yeah. I suppose the basis must be tight.
We're seeing the new crop basis. We've probably, I think everybody started kind of low, so we've seen it improve here about a dime on the actual gut slot fall basis that's out there. And we'll see how it goes. It just depends on how these yields start to come in. I think everybody's a little bit concerned about it, so everybody's getting jumpy.
And what kind of bids do you have at this point?
let's see. We are, for cash corn, we're at 5.11, 5.13 for new crop for fall. Beans for early premium, 11.62, and for Octnov, 11.07. So there's about a 50-cent premium in there.
And one final question. I suppose maybe the Andersons might have sent something out about this, but is there anything along the lines on the CME Group's new recommendations for more delivery points for wheat and what that might mean?
No, I've not seen anything more on it at this point.
Okay, thanks much.
You bet.
All right, that's Larry Wood. He is the general manager of the Andersons facility right here in Champaign County. Somebody from his office usually joins us on a Monday afternoon.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Risk Management Commodities, with offices in Chalmers and Lafayette, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities provides commodities analysis and recommendations for business and agriculture throughout East Central Illinois and Western Indiana. 866-837-9027.
In just 2 minutes, we'll take a complete look at the agricultural weather forecast. The folks from Chesapeake Energy will join us. You're listening to the Closing Market Report.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Tom Rogers. Vermilion County and the city of Danville may be approached to help keep Kickapoo State Park open. The head of the County Conservation District, Ken Consa, says it would take alternate funding sources to keep the park in operation if the state would allow it. It's one of 11 parks the Department of Natural Resources plans to close November 1st. But Consa says his staff would be able to manage the 2,800-acre site if need be, along with the county's existing parks. The Vermilion County Board expects to pass a resolution tomorrow night opposing the decision to close Kickapoo. Champaign School Board members get their first official chance tonight to talk over a strategic plan for Unit 4. The 15-year Great Schools Together plan has been several months in the making after public input sessions and committee meetings. It addresses issues ranging from school locations to boosting foreign language training. The study session is at 6:30 tonight at the Mellon Administrative Building. Employees at the Mitsubishi Motors plant in Normal reported for their regular shifts today despite their lack of a labor contract. Mitsubishi employs more than 1,000 union workers there. The union has voted to reject the automaker's latest contract offer. Indiana Republican Party leaders say the high cost of hosting a political convention might be the biggest roadblock in bidding to host the 2012 GOP gathering. Indianapolis will also host the Super Bowl that year, and party officials fear that may tap out corporate donors. Former Indiana Republican Party Chairman Mike McDaniel told the Indianapolis Star they've been encouraged to bid for the 2012 convention. By then, Indianapolis will have an expanded convention center with 7,000 nearby hotel rooms, as well as the new Lucas Oil Stadium. McDaniel says about half the funds for a convention come from corporate donors. The price tag of this year's Republican convention was an estimated $82 million. And a false rumor that United Airlines had filed for bankruptcy sent Chicago-based UAL Corporation stock plummeting before trading was halted today. A spokeswoman says the rumor simply wasn't true. The stock has since resumed and shares have recovered. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.
From the Archer Daniels Midland Company, ADM, resourceful by nature.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It's a Monday afternoon, time to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast. The folks at Chesapeake Energy in Chicago join us. Josh Darr on the line. Hi, Josh.
Hey, good afternoon, Todd.
A little rainfall across our portion of the world. Some pretty heavy storms at some points during the afternoon, too.
Yeah, sure. I mean, from a rainfall total perspective, it won't be nearly as much as we saw with Gustav's remnants late last week, but we're still getting a good drink here, and certainly areas probably need it based on the dryness we've seen over the past 4 weeks. Right now, we have a line of thunderstorms through central Indiana, just south of Champaign, and actually a severe cell out there, about 25 miles south there of Champaign, and it's moving to the east. This system will move through the region during the course of the day today, and then you start to clear out and cool down. Actually, coolest temperatures of the autumn so far coming up over the next 48 hours, with lows in the 50s to maybe you touch the upper 40s here in some areas tomorrow night before things start to warm back up again.
That's the way things are on a Monday afternoon, about 2:30 in the afternoon. But by the time we get a couple of weeks out, there's some awfully cold air apparently that's hovering in Canada, and it may make a spike into the United States?
Yeah, there's certainly talk out there of frost and freeze, and there's certainly reason to worry from the lateness of the crop this year. Our perspective on it is there are certainly model runs, and these models we look at that from time to time are showing a cold shot down into the Midwest. We actually are not buying into any of that guidance recently. A lot of that has to do with the tropical activity, and with all these recurving hurricanes and tropical storms in the central and eastern U.S., and it helps create a buffer for these cold air masses to come down, and the jet stream is fast enough that you're having a fast progression of these systems, and so you don't get that high pressure coming down from Canada that will give you nice radiation and a chance to get down into the low 30s.
So just because we've got a lot of hurricanes out there or tropical depressions, you're saying it's all bunk at this point?
Well, you'll certainly see talk about it in the models, and there will be model runs that show the attempts down near freezing at times, but at this point, given the progression of the pattern and how active we've been in the tropics, we don't see any threats for at least the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, the one model that's showing it is the U.S. GFS model. Tell me what you see for yourselves out of South America over the next couple of weeks.
Well, South America remains certainly an item to watch, particularly for Brazil as we move into the planting season here. Argentina has dryness that has been, and on the world wheat side of things, Argentina is the biggest area of dryness, and they certainly need rainfall, and that's not only from a winter wheat standpoint, but for planting for Argentina as well as we move into October.
Okay, anything else to add before I let you go?
That's it, Todd.
All right, thanks much, Josh.
All right.
Josh Darr is with Chesapeake Energy out of Chicago, Illinois. Somebody from that office joins us on the Closing Market Report each and every Monday afternoon, and that is this edition of the Closing Market Report. If you'd like to listen to it again, you can do that on our website. The address is WILLAG.org. You have a good afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason.
The closing market report is made possible in part by a grant from Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm with two toll-free lines. In Illinois, 800-252-2013. In Indiana, 800-637-3123. Or email to Cooley at admworld.com.